Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Joined now by one of my favorite people in college basketball to follow on social media, on his site, evanmia.com, Evan Miyakawa. Evan, it's been an eventful day. We're recording here on Wednesday, kind of on the heels of the JT Toppin news. Hope that he is okay long term. Just terrible, but I appreciate you taking time to chat with us. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here. We are in a very, very fun part of the college basketball season. Less than 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday. A lot of stuff to dig into for sure.
One of the things that's kind of happening now, you know, seems like if you follow your site or a couple of the other analytical sites that are trusted, but we'll stick with Evan Mia while we have you on. I think there's sort of a tiering that's happening. You know, I think forever and ever there was this it's Michigan and Arizona discussion, and then I think Coapete will be okay, but obviously they had the two loss week. So if you look at like your team rankings, Michigan and Duke have certainly separated themselves. They'll play Saturday, which is awesome. And then there's this second group that includes Arizona now, but also includes the two teams that played for the national title last year, Houston and Florida. And I would throw like sort of Illinois, UConn, and Purdue in that group. And then after that, there's a bit more of a drop off to sort of a third group that's like Iowa State, Gonzaga, Michigan State. Is that kind of the trend that you're seeing? Like if we were going to tier who's contending now, maybe that grouping seem fair.
I think that's right. I think a storyline this whole season has been how good the crop of elite teams at the top of the sport have been. Last season going into the tournament, it was very obvious that it was basically the 4-1 seeds. And then maybe if you want to throw an Alabama in there, but they were in Duke's region, like those were the 4-5 teams that were comfortably above everyone else. It was going to be more likely than any other season that a one seed was going to win. We had all the one seeds in the Final Four. This year, I think it's a bit wider than that. I think there are 10 teams right now that I would say are all good enough to get hot and win a national title, could beat each other. So big picture right now, there is a massive drop between, I have Gonzaga ranked 10th nationally, and then a big drop to Michigan State at 11. The gap between Gonzaga at 10 and Michigan State at 11 is bigger than the gap between Michigan State at 11 and Texas at 25. So there is a huge, huge gap there. But then at the very top of it, I think if we had talked even 7 to 10 days ago, I think I would have said, you know, there is probably 7 to 8 teams that are all in that range. Well, now I think Michigan has really started to separate themselves. We're recording this on Wednesday. I was in Mackey Arena last night for their demolition of Purdue in a game that, I mean, yeah. Purdue is a really tough environment to play. Preseason number one team. Michigan was dominant throughout. They've got another big test this weekend against Duke. But basically, it's Michigan, and then it's Duke, and then you have a tier of the next crop. It's like Arizona, Houston, Florida. I really think those five have comfortably been a tier above everyone else the last 2 to 3 weeks in terms of my predictive analytics. But then, like you said, Illinois, UConn, Purdue, Iowa State, Gonzaga, all kind of in that tier there. All of these teams are good enough to make a Final Four, potentially win a national title. But I think we are seeing a little bit of separation in terms of at least the analytics of Michigan, Duke, and then maybe Arizona, if you want to throw it there. They're kind of separating themselves a little bit from the pack, but certainly Houston and Florida, I think, are in the mix there too.
I'm glad that you brought up the like just sort of the dominance of Michigan, because, you know, until Arizona lost a couple games, it was feeling really 2024 in here. Like it felt like Michigan and Arizona are going to play for the national championship, sort of like UConn and Purdue were. And there's a lot of really nice stories. And now like Michigan and Duke are going to play this week. So we'll see. But certainly, you know, Duke is such a strange team to evaluate because in all these predictive metrics, they're awesome. And then you watch them and, you know, you're one thing that's great about, you know, we all love the 5 seed, 2 seed, 3, you know, when you watch somebody and when you watch Duke, I don't know if they like get the pointy arrow 1 seed all the time. You know, it seems like they kind of have one guy that they play through. That's what they do. They don't have a dominant guard. But you know, just a really good team. And now the second tier kind of could make the NCAA tournament as interesting as ever.
I'm fascinated by Duke because like you said, I think from a, like how fun and sparkly is this team, watch them on TV. They don't pop in the same way that a Michigan or a Houston or even a Florida at this point does necessarily. I think it's interesting because we compare Duke, obviously very high standard. They had a generationally good team last year. I know they didn't get to a national title game, yeah, but they were literally a bucket away from getting there and being favored by probably 3 to 4 points against Florida. And again, Florida may have won that game, but like Duke was really good. And I'm not, I don't want to take away the hindsight is 2020. And so it's easy to say that they weren't good enough to win a title last year. I don't think that's true. I think if you roll the dice again, they're still probably the favorite. So comparing this year's Duke team to that team is kind of unfair. In the sense that from a makeup perspective, it seems similar, but this Duke team just seems worse in every category. Cameron Boozer, I think impact-wise, has been just as good as Cooper Flagg, but obviously Cooper Flagg, generational talent. We've seen what he's done in the NBA this year. And then, yeah, the guard play and the shooting is worse than last year. But I think what people maybe are underappreciating about this team is that they're still really good defensively. I watched them in their game over the weekend. I was in Cameron Indoor Stadium for their game against Clemson. Again, Clemson, not a top 20 team by any stretch of the imagination, but a very solid team. Duke didn't have a great offensive outing, but defensively, they held Clemson to their worst offensive efficiency performance that they've had all season by a comfortable margin. Duke has an ability to defensively really slow teams down, and that doesn't pop as much as a prolific three-point shooting team or something like that. But I still think they're really good in that department. I think it's going to be a tough task for them this week, and this is really going to show, like, hey, is Duke really going to be among the favorites to win a national title? Or, you know, if they get beat by 20 by Michigan, that maybe changes the conversation a little bit. But at least at this point, it's you have the best player in college basketball by a good margin, in my opinion, in Cameron Boozer, and then you have a solid team in terms of talent, in terms of front court ability. Their backcourt is not anything to write home about, but you could say the same thing about a Florida, and they're still able to work around that and be effective. So I still have a lot of belief in this Duke team. I actually think comparing them to Florida is kind of a very interesting comparison there.
Yeah, so like I think it is kind of an interesting comparison, especially when Boogie Flann's made 1 3 since the Arkansas game, and he's still going to end up on like an all-SEC defensive team. I saw in your defensive performance ratings, Florida has 5 of the top 11.
My goodness.
in the SEC. And they're the only team. So one question that's great to ask you is, it's hard to figure out what filter to put on possessions. And like even like Fawcett and I, my co-host Eric Fawcett, who I know you know, like we were like, how many possessions is enough to not make it small sample size? So we chose 125, which is kind of arbitrary, but seems like a decent number. And Florida has 2 of the top 20 defensive 5-man lineups in the country. So I think that it's the versatility of Florida's defense that makes them a little unique in that regard, not just sort of that they have the Monstars in the front court.
Yeah, coming into the year, it was this front court in, I mean, you literally return your entire front court, all 4 players from a team that won a national title a year ago. That there's not a more like stable, predictable, successful ingredient in a front court than literally doing that. And that's what they've done. And it maybe took half the year for them to get to the level that we wanted for them, but it's there now. Ruben Chinyelu has an argument to be the best defensive player in the country. I'm checking where he's rated right now on my side. He is 3rd right now in defensive BPR behind Yaxel, Lendeborg, and Adai Mara. or and I guess Florey Badunga is right there as well. But like he's right there in terms of his defensive impact, best in the SEC, I think, by a comfortable margin. And then yeah, Thomas Hauck has been everything they've wanted from him at the three this year. Alex Condon has maybe been a little bit more hit or miss, but like he's still very reliable. It's taken them a little bit of time, but in the stretch run of SEC play, they can just boss everybody around, and there is a massive talent disparity, and they are able to just will themselves on the boards in terms of rim protection and all that stuff. To doesn't matter if you're only shooting 28% from three, they can still beat teams. And so,
right.
Yeah, and then if you have, I mean, I actually think Michigan is an interesting comparison here because Michigan also has a loaded front court, and they're playing Yaxel Endeborg at the three for a team, and they're also not a prolific three-point shooting team. They're able to beat teams regardless of that. But in Mackey Arena on Tuesday, Michigan hits 13 threes, which is a bit of an anomaly for them. If you have the front court and then the three ball actually falls for a team like Michigan or Florida, good night. It's over.
Yeah, no, the team that we keep comparing them to, and I'm from North Carolina, so that makes it a little easier, is 2016-2017 North Carolina with just their ability to annihilate people on the glass. I think they shot about 30.9 or so from three. I haven't memorized that number. Apologies for that. But the analytical profiles are pretty remarkably similar between where Florida is and where that North Carolina team is. And obviously Chris Jenkins hits a shot or that team wins the national championship. So if you're Florida fans, like most of our listeners, you should probably feel pretty good about where you're at right now.
Yeah, I think the only difference is like who is the Joel Berry on this team? The guard that you can say is going to maybe not be the best guard in the country, but is going to be the guy you can put the ball in their hands. Because right now, I think your most consistent offensive threat is probably Thomas Hauck. Like if you're drawing a play up at the end of a game, but he's not a guard, right? So Flan and Lee have been notably inconsistent this year. Lee, when he's playing well, is like looks awesome. But then he has games when he's a total no-show. And Boogie Flan, I expected more from him this season than we've gotten. Again, reliable, but like right now I have Boogie Flan and Xavien Lee rated as the 74th and 133rd best players in the country. You would have hoped for both of those guys to be more top 50 level this year. And so, again, maybe they can get there. I have a lot of faith in Todd Golden to figure this out, but there is definitely a massive talent drop in that department compared to what they had last year.
Speaking of massive talent drops, the SEC is the source of fiery debate. What else is new?
I think you just cut out. I can't hear you.
Oh, you got me now? Are you there?
I can't hear you still. It said you unmuted, but I can't hear you. Trying to figure out if that's something on.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you good now.
Okay, I don't know what happened. So I was going to say, speaking of massive drop-offs or the SEC, what to make of the SEC? There was never a scenario where the SEC was going to do what it did last year. And I think that has to kind of be the touchstone of any discussion where you have half the Elite Eight and the best team in the country all regular season and then the national champion. But it feels like this very well could be a year where, would it shock you if only two SEC teams or maybe three made the second weekend? Like that would not shock me.
Yeah, obviously outside of Florida, you don't really have a team in this conference that is a reasonable title favorite. On my website, if you take the average team strength of every team in the conference and compare that to other conferences, the SEC still ranks as the best conference. But when you actually look at the upper strength in these conferences, and this is a new metric that I debuted this year, of you can actually say it basically weights more of the top end talent in a conference. It's basically a proxy for which conferences are most likely to have a national title, get to a Final Four, make noise in March. And the SEC is comfortably third behind the Big Ten and the Big 12. And I think second weekend-wise, I actually wouldn't be surprised if the SEC does fairly well there because just looking at team ratings overall, Florida's fifth at evanmia.com, Vanderbilt 13, Arkansas 16, Tennessee 20, Alabama 21, Texas 25, Kentucky 26. There's a healthy crop of teams in the middle there that are good enough to make a Sweet 16. I actually think that's better than like the Big 12, because like right now the Big 12 has 4 to 5 teams that are all Arizona, Houston, Iowa State, Kansas, that are all top 15. Texas Tech was there. They're no longer there with JT Toppin's injury. And it drops to BYU at 41. So the SEC actually has more teams that are kind of in that, not title contender, but maybe dark horse Final Four, certainly Sweet 16 caliber, than the Big 12 does. So I actually think they could do well there. But certainly in terms of how many teams are getting to a Final Four or their chance of winning a title, it's pretty much Florida as the only teams you can really bet on in this conference.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with that. One team that is interesting to me, at least kind of watching them climb up in the Evan Mia team ratings, is Arkansas. They're obviously playing extremely well the last couple months. Really, the last month, I think, is a more fair characterization than the last couple months. And they have what, like, John Calipari teams need to advance in March, which is just an absolute electric playmaking guard. Really two of them, because Malik Thomas has been very good too, and it's lost because Acuff is awesome. Have you seen them? You kind of have a thought on them. Are you getting where you trust them or not yet?
I think talent-wise, I'm on board. Darius Acuff is incredible, and I think in a different season, he's being talked about as a first-team All-American, top-three freshman. The freshman class is just so loaded that you have 10 or 12 guys who should, in a normal season, deserve to be in contention for freshman of the year. Right now, I have them ranked 16th on my site. That's a 7-spot increase from about a month ago, so they're certainly trending in the right direction. I think that's more spots up than any other team in the SEC over the last 30 days. So I really like what they're doing there. I think, though, I think defensively is where they're a little bit more inconsistent, and maybe that's a general trend for Calipari teams of, like, you have all this talent, and offensively you can be lights out. Defensively, it's more hit or miss. But hey, this team was a 10 seed. Calipari's Arkansas was a 10 seed last year with arguably just as much talent, underperformed during the regular season, ends up making a Sweet 16, pushes Texas Tech to almost get to an Elite Eight. This team is better than that team. So they've already shown they can do it. And so I have more confidence in this year's group to do that than last year. So I think they're trending in the right direction. Certainly one of the most fun teams to watch in the country, no question.
And then the other SEC team that Fawcett and I have to ask you about is Vanderbilt. As we wind down with you, I think we were one of the only media outlets that had them in the top five of our preseason LSEC ballot. We got a lot of pushback on that. Mark Byington runs really good offense, y'all. and like the roster construction made a lot of sense. They kind of have guys like Devin McLaughlin who do a little of everything. Jalen Washington was always talented. It was really about system fit. Your thoughts on the Commodores, because they, like, that's a team that if they made the Elite Eight, I wouldn't be stunned at all. It would just be a draw situation for them.
For sure. I'm with you. I also was very high on them in the preseason. I had them ranked 24th in the country. That was much higher than most others. And I agree with you. It's a roster fit situation where they brought back key players like Tyler Tanner. His growth this year has been incredible. But then, you know, between guys like underrated portal gets like AK Okereke, and having Duke Miles, Tyler Nickel, who are all capable three-point shooting threats and can carry the load offensively. McLaughlin has been underrated for a long time. Jalen Washington has been really well for them. And I think the weakness, this has been documented, is that they don't have much of a front court. But even in a game against Florida, who has the best front court in the country, they still held their own there. I think people, you know, the story with Vanderbilt was undefeated and woohoo, everyone's in Vanderbilt, and then they lose several games and people are like, I'm out. I think it's somewhere in the middle. They're the second best team in the SEC right now, in my opinion. That's how they're rated on my site. I think they're not title good, but Final Four good. I think they are. They can be. And like you said, they run really great offense. I think the pieces really fit together. This is a team to me that screams, you know, more than the sum of the individual parts. That's what Mark Byington does. So I'm still a believer in this team. I think they can make some noise. I think an Elite Eight is certainly in the cards. Again, if the matchups are right and they play well. So I really like this team. They've been by far the most surprising positively surprising team to be in this conference this year.
EvanMia.com is the website. Evan Miyakawa on Twitter, at Evan Mia, I think. You guys make sure you follow him. You should subscribe to some sort of tier at EvanMia.com. It is worth it. It will make you a smarter and better basketball fan. You'll see why so many programs trust him. Our last question, I think, for you is this kill shot metric, which is so fascinating to so many people. And, you know, this is, again, will kind of resolve a discussion that Eric Fawcett and I have had, which is like, is it bad to not be particularly explosive? Because I asked this in the context of UConn, like they're the best object lesson of that this year. I think they're at 0.5 or so kill shots per game, which is pretty low for an elite team. Do you think that's like problematic as you start to look at your bracket in March? Like, isn't it good to be able to pull away?
Yes, it is. I think what I have often found is using the kill shot metric as a proxy for like who is a reasonable title winner is going into the tournament. You want to be at a certain level of both your ability to go on 10-0 runs and not give them up. But I think the more important side is not giving them up. The best title teams I have found over the last 5 years or so are teams that have the ability to go on big momentum changing runs, but they're also very run resistant. They're not going to be in positions where they easily give up a lead. I think that was a characteristic of Florida's team last year, the UConn teams that won titles the previous 2 years. So if I'm picking a category that's more important, I would rather focus on, yes, you want to not be outside the top 20 nationally in your ability to go on kill shots, but it's even more important to be very tight and secure. And I think that's something that we saw in the Michigan's win over Purdue is they had a kill shot in the first half. Purdue slowly was able to whittle that lead down, but Michigan never allowed them to score 8, 10, 12 unanswered points. That's a characteristic Florida is very good at this year. I think there was a point in time in January where they hadn't allowed a single 10-0 run all year. And even now, they're, I think, the second or third best team overall in terms of if you adjust for opponent at not giving up 10-0 runs. That's huge because if you're going to be a top 1, 2, 3 seed in the tournament, you're a favorite, you're up in games, you're very safe with a lead in that sense, and you're not going to give that away quickly. That's very, very important.
See, this is why you should check out evanmia.com and learn things like this. Evan, thanks for your time, man. I know you're a busy guy. Everyone check out Evan on the mock selection shows coming up too. Absolutely. If you want to learn about how hard that process is, Evan's about to get immersed in it, but please, you should watch. Thank
you. Yes, I'm excited about that, and thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.